Blog Talk Radio.
One of my favorite days, of course, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are my favorite days because I'm on the air and I'm Aries in the first, which not, but I always say it's about me. Right, Ron?
That's an energy associated with Aries.
Yes. Well, anyway, I just have to tell that, and Ron, I'll be right with you, but I do want to say hello to all of our callers, all of our listeners, our chatters, all our guests, and everybody that is with us on the show today. And today is a great show. We have the famous astrologist, Ron Cole, which you just heard his voice. He has been doing astrology for many years. We share the same birthday, so I love it. And he is here to go over and answer questions. He is now going to take questions from chat or from callers. They're general urology questions. He can't, if you don't know your chart, he can't really do your chart on air, but he can answer questions if you have a chart made, you need to know something, or you just want to ask some general astrology questions. I was going to say urology because that's my husband, but I don't think Ron would like to answer any urology questions. So we're going to go with astrology. And then after Ron, you know, our second hour, we have the famous, awesome Kelly Coulter. She does life, Atlantean life card, birth card readings, and she is fabulous. She'll talk about what the cards mean to you, what the cards mean, and how they work in your life. She's coming in on in the second hour. Also, I do want to go over, we have a special guest tomorrow. The special guest has his own show. I am so excited to meet him. His name is Neil Baker, and he has an assistant, Kristen. They do have their own show, so I don't know what his show is about, but he's coming on ours. And he is a psychic medium. He's also big into numerology. He will take callers, and I am so excited for this show because I always love numbers. I associate them. I know they mean things, and I can't wait to find out what my numbers mean. So with no more ado, I am going to introduce you to our co-host today, Ron Cole. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Bonnie. A pleasure to be here. Hello, everyone.
How about that you're going to take callers? I mean, I think that's so cool. I hope everybody knows out there. I haven't really announced it. We weren't really sure what we're going to do. So from now on, he will be taking callers. If you're going to wait for Kelly and you want your life card reading, you can also ask an astrology question. I'll keep you on the board. Anyway, today we have a great show. But first, I'd like you to tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, Ron, if they would like a private reading from you.
The way to contact me is through my email, which is livingastro@aol.com. That's livingastro@aol.com.
That's perfect. And you all know how you can get a hold of me. I'm Bonnie Mosenter-Albers on Facebook. I love you to be there. I'd like you to friend me. Leave me a message. Tell me what you would like us to talk about, if there's something we don't cover. Or just friend me so you could see the up-and-coming shows that you'll be able to log, and you'll be able to see them before we actually put them on, because I do put it on my Facebook. I also take messages. If you can't get on the board and you've been trying to get into one of our co-hosts, leave me a message and your phone number. I will Facebook you back and tell you when you're going to be on the show, because we want everybody to get in. Also, you can get a hold of me at balbers714@aol.com. You can email me there. You can send me a letter. You can send me a note. You can send me a card. You can send me anything you want as long as it's nice. So, again, I am just going to tell you what we're going to talk about on the show today. I am so excited that we have an astrologist with us, because a really unbelievable occurrence happens tomorrow. And I'm going to let Ron talk about it, because, you know, I got to keep my lips closed to let the guests and the co-hosts on too. So, Ron, can you tell us what fabulous or not so fabulous thing is happening tomorrow? And it lasts quite a long time.
Yes, we have another one of our Mercury retrogrades starting tomorrow. And Mercury retrograde has gotten into the common lexicon of the world society, and it's kind of become in people's minds a fearful event. They're always told, oh, don't sign that paper, Mercury is retrograde. Oh, don't move, Mercury is retrograde. Don't buy that car. It's kind of evolved to that kind of way of thinking, when in fact, it isn't really that quite that way. Mercury is the planet closest to the sun. I believe it's 38 million miles from the sun, where we're 92. And Mercury goes retrograde 3 times a year. And when it does, it goes retrograde for about 3 weeks. Now, what does it mean when it's a retrograde Mercury? Mercury, like all the rest of the planets in our solar system, continuously move forward in the degrees of the signs of the zodiac. But they will reach certain unusual alignments with the Earth as to how we view them, where they will actually appear to stop going forward and then back up. It's like a car driving forward, stopping, putting the gear in reverse and going backwards over the same area it had just driven across. And then when it is doing that backup motion, it is said to be retrograde. Now, I want everyone to realize planets don't actually stop in their orbit around the sun. It's an illusion based on how we on a moving planet, looking at another moving planet around the sun, make a certain alignment. However, this does have a very important effect on us because the planet that is retrograde is acting differently than when it is appearing to be going direct or normal in its action of forward travel. Well, retrograde Mercury this time is occurring February 6th at 9:44 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's the moment it will turn retrograde, tomorrow night. Now, what's interesting is why this one's unique is Mercury is turning retrograde right in alignment, or as we say in astrology, conjunction with the planet Neptune. Neptune in the sky.
I love Neptune.
Yes, and this is a powerful alignment for this Mercury retrograde. No other retrograde this year will be like this. Neptune right now is about 4 degrees Pisces, and Mercury will turn retrograde at 3 degrees Pisces. So these two planetary bodies from our view here on the Earth are appearing to be right next to each other or aligned together. And then Mercury will retrograde backwards, and eventually it will stop retrograding on February 28th, at 2:01 p.m. Eastern Standard
Time. Don't you think that's a long retrograde, Ron? I mean, maybe I'm wrong because I don't really get into, I guess I'd never really looked at Mercury and Mercury retrograde. I thought it was only like a couple days. This is 3 weeks, and everybody go ahead.
Oh, it turns retrograde and stays retrograde for 3 weeks. What were you saying that people have said about it? Because I want to hear kind of the general information that's been swirling around out there from their ideas about it.
Well, first, people, and I know you've heard this, say that Mercury, if they're retrograde, one is their phones, their computers, all the communication goes fluky. And I say, well, my communications are fluky all the time. The other thing is that everybody says is that not besides, I don't know, I always blame it on Mercury retrograde, but half the time I don't think Mercury is retrograde when my computer and phone go crazy. But they also say don't buy cars, don't buy anything of electronics. And do you think, and I'm thinking about this now, Ron, but do you think that the reason that is because if that is so close to our planet or the sun, that the pull, I mean, there's a magnetic pull and it pulls the magnets out? I don't know. Why would they say that?
Well, actually, I don't want everyone to think I'm totally debunking all of this. There is truth to this to a large extent, but I think people have gone overboard in living in fear when Mercury is retrograde. I've even had people tell me that they want to stay in bed and pull the covers over their head and not get out and do anything for 3 weeks. They become paralyzed because of fear, and that just really gets ridiculous. Mercury in astrology represents the power of the mind and communication. It is the planet that represents and is connected to all forms of communication, whether it is teaching, selling, talking, lecturing, counseling. It's the planet that gives us the quality of usage of words and flow with words. And it's the planet that has a lot to deal with the person's IQ and intelligence level. So Mercury is a very mentally connected planet. And as such, it is related to decisions that we make, and it is related to where we commit ourselves to things by a decision that's concluded, such as making the commitment to buy a car, to sign a contract, to move, to sign a new lease, et cetera, et cetera. And because of the fact that it's different when it's retrograde than when it's direct, it is true there is a little bit of caution to the wind that needs to be looked at when Mercury is retrograde. If you want to buy a car and keep it forever, have it as a long-lasting car, you do not want to buy it under a Mercury retrograde. But if you want to buy a car and know that it's only going to be a temporary vehicle in your life, short time usage, that's fine to buy it under a Mercury retrograde. If you want to move into an apartment and expect to live there for a long, long time, do not sign the lease under Mercury retrograde. But if you know you're going to be there a temporary time, let's say you're having a house built and you're in an apartment for just a matter of months till the house is finished, then it's still okay to sign a lease under Mercury retrograde. In other words, it tends to be fine for things that are not long-lasting. Now, the other thing is it does affect communications. You are absolutely right. I mean, people think differently when Mercury is retrograde. Sometimes they stumble with words. They don't know how to express themselves effectively. I've seen this with news anchors all the time when it's retrograde. People do have communication equipment foul-ups, and they play phone tag way more often with others, back and forth, missing
each
other's
call
and just leaving the electronic message. Go ahead.
So that means when I stutter that I trip over my jokes and words, and then I can blame it on Mercury retrograde, right, Ron?
Well, absolutely. That seems like a logical thing right there. Mercury retrograde made me do it that way.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
And I'm not making fun out of it. That's actually, there is truth to this. People actually have a harder time getting their words out or their concepts put into words and fully received and expressed to another person. So there is some truth to this, but unfortunately, since Mercury goes retrograde 3 times a year and then 3 weeks each time on the average, it's become established all over the world. There are people that don't know a thing about astrology except that, Mercury is retrograde now, so I can't make any decision or do anything. When in fact, you should be more cautious making decisions.
Well, you know what's interesting, Ron? It is now retrograde on Valentine's Day. So I'm going to tell you how many weddings and things that I know that are happening between now and when Mercury goes direct. So isn't that interesting? What would you say to somebody? Now, obviously, you know, we are not party poopers. We don't want to be party crashers. We don't want to say anything bad. But, I mean, isn't that interesting that Valentine's Day, when I think millions of people or at least thousands of people make that decision to ask the person to marry them or getting married is on retrograde this year? Is that, like, crazy?
Well, Venus is more the planet associated with marriage and union with another person. However, Mercury retrograde may play a factor in this Valentine's Day because it could go back to the time that the two people first met. Mercury may have been retrograde in the sky, or when they first seriously discussed and decided upon marriage in the past. And then here comes the event this year at or right at, around Valentine's Day when Mercury is retrograde in the sky. Sometimes there is this link down the line. So Mercury could have been retrograde in previous timings for this couple's coming together, and they actually tie the knot under the retrograde. It seems like the retrograde will keep bringing something about their union into focus, such as first meeting, decision to marry, and marriage.
Oh, that's nice, because I would rather see that than think, oh, my God, don't sign the marriage certificate on Mercury retrograde, because that would be really just awful for these people, because I know there's a lot of people that get married, and I'm glad to hear that at least the planet Venus, which I think went direct, and I don't want to bring another planet in here yet, but I think that that's maybe a good thing then for them to hook up or get married or whatever on Valentine's Day this year.
You are very right about that. Venus had been retrograde for about 5 to 6 weeks. It started on December 21st of 2013, turned retrograde that day, and it stopped on January 31st. So it was retrograde, like I said, for almost six weeks. And that one is now not going to retrograde for about 2 years. Venus is what we call an infrequent retrograder. It and Mars are the ones that do not retrograde every year. But Mercury, that little speedy planet that whips around the sun so quickly, gets into unusual alignments with the Earth so many times during the year that that's why we have frequent Mercury retrogrades. But we must understand anything that is connected to the concept of communication is ruled by Mercury. Books, authorship, anybody who is a good lecturer, a good teacher, radio, talk shows, that's all connected with Mercury. Anything about any form of counseling, whether it is intuitive counseling, astrological counseling, mental health counseling, psychology counseling, any form of counseling energy work is connected to Mercury because of the flow of words and the flow of information. And Mercury defines a person's IQ. The placement of Mercury in a person's chart will often give you a great insight as to how their mind works. Now, for example,
wow.
Mercury's turning retrograde in Pisces conjunct Neptune. That is very powerful for intuition. That is very powerful for mystical images and powerful for going deep into one's own psyche or subconscious. So we've got a natural gift going on in the next several days when Mercury turns retrograde right next to Neptune. We're going to have a much stronger ability for psychic insight, psychic receivership as far as impressions and impressionability for people, images. And the thing that Neptune deals with is it doesn't give you a clear-cut, sharp, defined picture. It gives you something, and what you feel from what you see is what's Neptune's message. It's connected more with feelings than clear-cut imagery. It may show you something symbolically, and then you get a feeling from that symbolic image. And that's the way Neptune works. It works through that kind of way rather than saying what you see is what exactly you're getting. So this is related a lot to the subconscious. This is related a lot to the inner nature of the human being and to the intuitive receptivity of people. So I'm telling everyone the psychic energies for meditation, for dream imagery are very, very strong now. And as this Mercury retrograde occurs, it'll be triggering that energy even deeper when it connects with Neptune and goes retrograde tomorrow. So we're in a number of days now that intuitive receptivity and very sensitive people, very emotional people, very psychic people, spiritual people have a bonanza of positive energy to work with now for going inward and getting intuitive insight.
Well, I'm so glad about that, Ron, because you know me, again, Aries in the first, not. I'm always going to say it's myself. I can't wait to have some more psychic, intuitive happenings, awakenings, any kind of ings that I can have, because that is me. I'm so spirit-oriented. Just bring it on. I'm hoping that this Neptune, Pisces, Mercury intermix for me is going to be so fascinating that you'll have to run the show next week because I'm going to be in the sky. And you know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be traveling around those planets. But I
well, now Mercury turns retrograde in Pisces, but it goes direct in Aquarius. By the time we get to February 28th, it's not in the sign of Pisces at all, and it hasn't been for quite a while. It will turn direct, I believe, at 18 degrees Aquarius. And if a person... If a person is born with Mercury in Pisces in their birth chart versus a person born with Mercury in Aquarius, Bonnie, those are two very different ways of thinking. Mercury in Pisces is the psychic, just what we've been saying, the psychic, receptive, intuitive, sensitivity to energy type of mindset person. The person with Mercury in Aquarius is the mind of the inventor, the Renaissance type, the one who comes up with new breakthrough ideas or new reformative ways, a thinker that doesn't think in the normal traditional box, thinking out of the box. And Aquarius Mercuries are often people of high levels of intelligence, but they're futuristic.
Oh, that must
they think
be me. That must be me, Ron. I must have Mercury everywhere in my chart because, you know, I want to be intuitive. Well, I am intuitive. I am a spirit medium. But I want it to be in my chart there, in my chart in Aquarius, so that I'm so highly intelligent. I want it to be in my love chart so that it just speeds me right on up there. So you know me and Mercury. Even though I didn't think I was loving Mercury, now I think I really love Mercury after listening to you about Mercury. What planet does Mercury rule? You know, I mean, like, what sign? Is Mercury the planet for which sign? Is it Aquarius?
No, it actually, in present-day evolution of astrology, is associated with two signs of the zodiac. It rules Gemini and it rules Virgo. Now, in its Gemini expression, it rules the teacher, the communicator, the knowledge seeker, the higher IQ, the book reader, the one who just talks and flows with words. In Virgo, it's details. It's analytical. It analyzes things. It deals with life through specific details as far as what it wants to know and glean from something. And it's also the health side of Mercury. Mercury is associated to some extent with the health of people. Mercury is connected through its sign of Virgo to health conditions, health situations, health descriptions. And I don't want people to get freaky here, but I have noticed that during the 3 weeks when Mercury goes retrograde all the year, because it's going to do that three times a year, this is only the first time, people are more susceptible to have their health break down. They're more susceptible to colds. They have to be more health conscious in their eating, in their nutrition intake, and more diligent when Mercury is retrograde, because it does have a certain amount of factor that can put a weakening for everyone. I don't want people to be fearful, but a weakening energy that could have an influence, not the positive, for people's health.
Well, you know what, Ron? I'll tell you what I do. I mean, you know, you're just going to say, oh, Bonnie, you're just out of this world anyway. But, when sometimes I feel Mercury goes retrograde and it is in the middle of winter, of course, we're in Florida, so winter to everybody else, they are stomping on our names, because I know up north they have had bad snowstorms, and we are sitting in beautiful sunny Florida, which I don't want to make anybody jealous of. But what I would tell everybody to do, and I'm a nurse also, is, and I love it, and I'm not here to give you any brand name or anything, but I'll tell you, I always double up two packets of Emergen-C. You can get them at any drugstore, any Walmart. And that's, I think they're 2,000 milligrams or 2,000 milligrams a pack. And I really believe in doubling up on them when you're thinking of possibly having a cold or a flu type symptom. And so I think when Mercury grows retrograde in those cold, you know, climates, that's not a bad thing to think about.
Absolutely, particularly during the 3 weeks of the retrograde. And we tend to have the retrograde spaced out about every 3 months, 2.5 months apart. So once this retrograde is over, February 28th, we won't have another retrograde, I believe, till June. But when it is retrograde, summer, winter, autumn, spring, you do have to be a little more health conscious because of its connection through its sign of Virgo to the health of the human body. So it rules two factors, our thinking and our health. And you hear the expression, a person can think themselves well. A person can think themselves sick. There is truth to that expression because Mercury rules both ends of that sentence. It rules the thinking process and the brain pattern of the person, and it rules a lot about their health and health constitution.
Well, what do you think? That's so interesting. How do you feel about Mercury? Do you feel it's like one of your, you know, like when I say, oh my goodness, here comes Saturn, you know, I just cringe and cry and put my head on the table and say, oh, I hope it's not in my house of. But what do you think of Mercury in general?
Well,
what do you think of that planet?
It is very important because it it represents capacities that the human beings seem to represent that separate us from many animal species. And I'm not saying all, because there are animals that show very, very high levels of creativeness in their ways to obtain food and forms of communication. But for the human being, it specifically represents something because its two signs, Gemini and Virgo, are symbolized by human figures. Gemini by two human beings as twins, and Virgo, the maiden of the harvest. They are not signs symbolized by an animal or a creature, like Leo the lion or Pisces the fish. So this indicates one thing. Mercury is one of the indicators of qualities of the human being, such as detailed planning, analytical precision that allows us to build and create things. It also represents the power of words and the power of language. It represents also the power to write and create books and or written expressions such as articles, anything written. It gives us the ability to learn and understand and comprehend higher energies of things. One of the best allergies is the fish pond allergy. There could be a small fish pond, and the world of the living creatures in that fish pond are all interconnected with each other in exciting, dramatic, and scary and positive ways. But they're not even cognizant of the big world outside of that fish pond where we are walking around and the world exists. And Mercury gives us the ability to see and think beyond the fish pond. Mercury gives us the knowledge and the intelligence of the human brain. So it is a cerebral planet and an insight planet. And that's why when it goes retrograde, it subtly alters and affects people's way of communicating and ways of thinking. They can still think, but there are certain hurdles or delays. That's another thing. Mercury can often create delays in getting something finished or accomplished when it is retrograde. Things could be moving nice and smoothly. Mercury turns retrograde, and then the project starts having delaying factors with it. Mercury stops retrograding. We call it going direct. Then things start moving smooth again.
I love that, Ron. I think that all of us now have a better idea of Mercury. I love that we're going through these planets, because I think we all, anybody who reads The Idiot's Guide to Astrology like me, knows that we can only have a limited view and a limited education on a lot of these planets and aspects and stars and everything, and you're bringing reality down to us. We are so happy to be, I am so happy to be able to listen to you and present it in ways in going interesting. We're going to do this every week. We're going to pick a planet, and we're going to talk about it, and we can actually pick two planets if you want. I have a couple people on the board, but there is a question that we do have in, and Kelly asked this question. She asked it in and called me this morning because she knew you were taking callers, and I don't see Kelly on the board yet, Kel. But so I'm going to ask a question for her, and that is this question, Ron, and it has nothing to do with Mercury yet. I mean, unless you want to stick on Mercury, is there anything else, Ron, that you need to tell us about Mercury?
Not unless there's a question from a caller about Mercury. We can go and honor any questions now, but remember, because astrology requires a chart to be set up for a human being in order to do a reading for them, this is impossible to do with just a call on a phone from someone. This is not like psychic receptivity that picks up on energies and starts immediately reciting from the impressions they're given. It is based on a scientific system of calculations to create a chart based on a city and time of a person's birth.
Well, I'm going to ask the question that Kelly asked. Okay, so I'm going to start with the question, and she, like I said, was logged into chat, then she is going to be calling. But the question, Ron, she asked is, which is really interesting, and I'd love to get into this, is she said, Kelly wants to know what the difference between a progress chart and your birth chart are, because she said there are urologists, again, I mean, I must just be thinking of urology. All of you out there, I hope you're not having any peeing problems or any, you know, whatever problems, because It's just the words are coming out of my mouth and I can't figure it out. But anyway, I'm so sorry, and it is astrology. And I guess it's because I've done urology nursing for the last so many years, and it was so interesting and exciting. That's where I get my sexual issues certificates from. So, okay, now talking about astrology today, the Progress chart, Ron, what is it exactly, and why do you do Progress charts?
Well, here is the difference. The most important chart that can ever be done for a person is their natal chart. It's the one and only living grid system pattern of energy that their soul is working with in this life. That's because it is calculated and set up for their city of birth, location if it's not in a city, on the Earth's surface, their month, day, and year of birth, and the exact hour and minute that they are born. These information combinations have to be provided. And it's related to the moment they take their first breath. Now, that chart stays with them their whole life, and it is the single most important calculated event in astrology. There is another type of chart called a progression. And like you said, not every astrologer does them because this involves a whole different set of calculations to do. You can literally take that birth chart, that natal chart, and progress it to a certain time in a person's life. Let's say someone is 44 years of age, and you can take that birth chart and progress it to age 44. And what will happen is you will get a secondary chart that will give you tremendous insight to what is specifically going on in that person's life at age 44, in their career, in their money, in their health, in their personality, in their marriage, with their children, with all the departments of life. So a progress chart is a way of moving into getting an insight at a specific time, and then you could progress it to age 45, 46, 47 when a person is 44. And you could get insight as to what's coming up in the next number of years through the use of a progress chart. So it is not necessary if you're doing a natal reading, because that is the number one key for the whole life. It's the energy, the planetary pattern energy that the soul is coming into birth with to handle and evolve with in this lifetime. That's the chart on the city, date, and time of birth. But the progress chart is a very powerful tool to help you get insights at any specific time.
And I know you do them, Ron, because I'm one of your clients. So I know that you do them, and it is so, I want everybody to know, it is so interesting to me, because even though I had my birth chart done, and I loved my birth chart, and I you know, that's me, when I have a question or if something's going on, I think 2 years ago, Ron, if you remember, I had such a month on October that I just didn't even know what was happening to me. And I called you and I asked you to do a progress chart. And sure enough, when we look back at that October month, we looked and said, oh, my goodness, of course. So that was in retrospect. Now I just do my progress charts with you every 6 months or a year. Actually, I think it's every 6 months I do it because there are so many other microscopic things that you can see and hone in on that are happening in that person's life right then. Am I right?
Absolutely. And an astrology reading should consist of two different factors: the delineation of the natal chart and its description about what the person is working with in this lifetime, and a timing or futuristic predictable side, a second factor. And this can be provided by a progress chart or something like transits, in which you take the planets in the sky exactly where they are now and put them in an overlay on your birth chart and see where a planet in the sky is moving through what area of the chart, whatever planet or planets you might have in that area, and when that planet in the sky will touch those. Some astrologers who don't use progressions will use transits. I use both because there are two different ways to make insight of events clearer to understand.
And I know that you have a lot of clients. You have doctors, you have lawyers, you have mediums, you have psychics, you have all kinds of clients from all over the world that call you and say, Ron, is this a good time? I know one of my friends did. Is this a good time to have surgery? Is this a good time to make a deal? Is this a good time to buy a house? So I know that you can't just do that from the birth chart by looking back there. You have to do the progress or look at all those aspects to pick up a day or a time that, you know, is good for them. Am I right about talking about that?
Yes, and I hope people don't get the understanding that that means astrology controls you like a marionette on strings. What it actually does is it gives you insight into timing of events or situations. It's a science of cycles and a science of timings. And so if a person is having the situation coming up of the need for a specific type of operation, you can actually calculate what would be the better days or better week or month that you can have an operation versus one that is not so good. And again, this is not superstitious. This is not related to just the power of belief and that's how it works. It's related to the fact that you're dealing with specific energy periods that are timed for the advantage of the situation that's being encountered, such as the surgery situation.
Well, I know I am so happy to hear that. I, you know, none of the people I know use you or use any astrologist for that reason. I think everybody needs to understand that it only gives you a tool. If you have three dates, why wouldn't you want to have the best date that possible, that all the stars, all the planets, all the aspects are aligned the best for you? So I so appreciate anybody that uses an astrologist, because I do think that it does help, and people are sensitive to energies and vibrations, and that's what the planets and all the stars and all your aspects, angles, and squares are all about. So I, you know, you can use anybody, you can use Ron, you can use your own astrologist, but it's a good thing, I think, to always have a progress chart, take a look at what's coming up that year. Again, when I did my natal chart, I'm so many years old, that natal chart was perfect. I loved hearing about it, but my progress chart helps me to look at the year ahead. And we looked at my year ahead, didn't we, Ron?
Yes, we did, and that was fairly recently. Now, I don't betray any clients' identities or confidence, but I did do a chart reading for someone from South America earlier this week. And I had done her first reading in 2007. So I had a copy of the 2007 progress chart. I did the progress chart for 2014, and it was noticeably different. In those difference of 6 to 7 years, the chart had progressed or moved into other configurations and other sets of timings. So one thing about the progress chart, it's only for the moment of time that you are at that age or using it for that time. It will not stay constant. It will always move or evolve into something else, and as you move and evolve through the years of your life. But your natal chart, based on the correct time of birth, city of birth, and date of birth, is going to always be a standard fixed energy from first breath to last breath.
I just think that's so fascinating. Is there any other planets? Because we really, I've got some callers on the board, but I'm going to hold off on those. We don't have a whole lot of time to get into really heavy questions. But do you think that, and everybody that's on the board, please stay on the board. Are there any other planets this month that we should look at? We already talked about Mercury. Is there any other planets that are important taking us into February that we should look at?
Well, one thing is we've just had Venus change, but that was the ending of January. There is something that isn't really a planet, and this is kind of complicated to get into, but we did talk about it briefly in past shows, and that is the moon's nodes. There's something called the north node of the moon and the south node of the moon, and these are not planets, and they are not the moon moving through the signs of the zodiac from day to day, but they are a point, without getting complicated, in which there's something called the North Node, the Ascending Node, and in Oriental astrology, it's called the Dragon's Head. And there's a point called the South Node or Descending Node, and that was the Dragon's Tail, and they are exactly opposite each other in the zodiac. Well, right now, Mercury, the Moon's nodes, the node for the first two-thirds of February is in the last time that it will be in the sign of Scorpio. It's actually moving backwards, and the nodes do move backwards rather than forward. And on around the 19th of February, it's going to change signs and move from Scorpio into Libra. And that's interesting because that only happens once every year and a half. And so we're having a nodal change this year. Now, here's what this means. The North Node is the important one to look at, more than the South Node, because the North Node indicates a karmic destiny that a person is supposed to be working on or facing in this lifetime. And Eastern ways of thinking, it's like dharma, like a mission or destiny that you're supposed to be accomplishing or doing, where the South Node represents something from past lives that you've already done, perfected, accomplished. It's like a quality of being of the past that you're actually moving away from. So right now, the North Node's in Scorpio and the South Node's in Taurus. It's going to shift towards the ending of February, so the North Node will be in Libra and the South Node will be in Aries. Now here's what this means. For the first two-thirds of February, as we still have this North Node in Scorpio, working with your psychic ability, being gifted intuitively, working with your gut-level hunches, working with your detailed, penetrating, almost body-like, inner energy to look into something, that's part of the destiny of having the North Node in Scorpio. And sometimes people born with that, and let's be honest here, can sometimes be working on controlling or not letting their sexual energies become too over-obsessive with them, because Scorpio is often connected to sexual drive. Now, that's
I love
shift.
That.
It's going to shift, and later this month, we move the North Node into Libra, and it's going to be in Libra for a year and a half till the latter part of 2015. And that's a different kind of North Node. That's a node that is connected to relationships, marriage, dating, love, significant others in our life, our partners. So that's a North Node whose energy is working on refining and harmonizing and balancing and synthesizing relationships and our dating and our love interests. It's also a North Node related to the need for sharing with others, sharing with the world, sharing with fellow humanity. It's a very different type of energy. And that's going to be a period of shift this month. So that is one of the big factors that's going on in February, along with the advent of Mercury retrograde.
Well, let me ask you a question, Ron. Does everybody, like I know my North Node was, I think my North Node was in the 10th house or the 11th house or 12th house. I remember that my North Node was pretty up there. Does that mean that anybody born, are we looking at North Nodes and South Nodes, they have to be born in those nodes? Or is this now the North Node going from Scorpio, everybody's working off this karma, or everybody's working, or is it only for the person born in the first 3 weeks of February?
No, that's a group karma issue. For the last year and a half, we've been having the North Node in Scorpio, and that will end around February 19th, and it'll move into Libra. Now, that means for the last year and a half, all births of people anywhere in the world have been having the North Node in Scorpio in their natal charts, and this is an energy that they're working with as a dharma or destiny to deal with in this life. Starting February 19th and onward for the year and a half past that, these will be people born with dharma or destiny to work on sharing interconnections with others, sharing between self and fellow human beings or fellow humanity, and relationships and unions and partnering and dating and love interests. So this is going to be an energy. So when planets or slow-moving things occur over a period of time, it means there is a group energy of people being born that are all experiencing the need to work and or develop the characteristics of that situation going on in the sky.
Oh, okay. So so really it has nothing, like it wouldn't be me working off, you know, a sexual issue.
It actually is because it's in your birth chart. Well, no, it is because you were born under that energy. But when I say group, I mean you and all the others born during that time are sharing that same energy to work with, that same situation pattern to work with. When I say group energy, I don't mean you're just contributing to a group. It's specifically in your birth chart, and it's specifically meant for you because you were born with it. But it means that all the other people born on your date or within that year and a half are also sharing that same type of north, no destiny energy to work with.
I love that. Well, you know what? I'm not quite sure where my north node was, and I know that we don't have the chart up, but I know it wasn't working on sexual energy, Ron, but all the other people, I'm really happy that that's what you're coming in to work off of, because I'm a sexual issues counselor too. So just think, Ron, of all the people that are going to be born, that actually, if I'm still around doing that work, that I could actually help. What do you think of that?
Well, that's possible, because people born, wherever their nodes are, they will be back in those same placements again when they're around 18 years of age. So, in other words, right now, the North Node today is in Scorpio. 18 years from now, it will be in Scorpio again. And 17 to 18 years from now, it'll be in Scorpio. So what that means is when a person reaches 18, the nodes come back to the same exact astrology signs and places that they were when that individual was born.
That's so interesting. So, okay, we talked about the north node, because I know now you brought up the nodes, and I know we talked about this last show, but I think we just kind of stretched by it. But so you have your north node, which is your dharma, or what you come in to work off. And is the south node, did I hear you say karma, what's the south node?
Well, the south node is something you've already accomplished, become very proficient at, or had a lot of in a past life, and you're supposed to be moving away from it. Now, here's an interesting pattern. Let's say the ones coming up, because they're the ones of the next year and a half. North node in Libra, south node in Aries. Well, having the south node in Aries, it means it was me first, me only, me number one, quick, fast, reactionary energy, jumping first and thinking later. Those were situations that you had had in yourself and personality to a certain point that you now are moving away from that's no longer going to serve your soul. You've gone through that period of directed first frontal energy, and you're moving now and needing to move into an interaction between yourself and others, yourself and another, yourself and a loved one, yourself and a partner, yourself and fellow human beings. So that nodal pattern will show you're coming out of a situation of the energy of Aries in past lives, and you're moving into the Libra energy for this incarnation.
That is so cool, because you're right. Aries, all about me, which I always claim I am in the first house, and then moving into Libra, which would be equal, balance and partnership and, you know, all that, it would have actually the opposite of what you were doing. So really, you know, it's so cool, because when Susan and I open the Akashic Records and I crawl in or fly over and she gives you what you're here for, we actually do see the past lives. So it's pretty cool, because a lot of times, and figuring this out, a lot of times what they've been in their past, they're actually here to work off in this lifetime and maybe many others if they don't learn the lessons. But it's interesting, because we do see that in the past lives to this life living here. So I'm so excited that astrology would actually pick that up, because especially in the north and south node, because it really works like what how Susan and I do with the Akashic Records and opening the past lives porthole. So isn't that, you know, it's just so interesting, Ron, that, you know, you can just paste all these metaphysical, different didactics together, and they all say the same thing, really.
Yes, that's another interesting factor, how many different things can say the same thing.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing is if the South Node's in Aries, you may have said, I don't need anyone. I'll make my own decisions. I'll be the number one first factor. In this life, it's okay to ask assistance with the Libra North Node.
I know. You know, Libra is such a cool energy. I mean, I really resonate a lot with Sagittarius and Scorpio, but I love my Libras. So, and they usually give me balance. They usually ground me, which, you know, it's weird to say that a Libra would ground me. But Susan's a Libra. And if Susan's a Libra, she's 10, 18. Is she a Libra? Yeah, she's a Libra.
Yes, she has a Libra.
And, yeah. And we just work so well together, and she always grounds me. So I wonder, either she must have something else, or Libras are grounders. What do you think?
Well, they can be because their interaction is a union with someone else. By the way, I'm getting an echo. Are you hearing an echo?
I am, but I don't know. Let me see if I mute. Sometimes I can't be helped, and I called on Skype. And trying to get my, because people weren't able to, everybody that was downloading said that when you call on your phone, it was so much more diminished. So I'm trying to see which way I can, when people listen to the archives, it sounds better. So I'm trying to do it on Skype this week and see if it makes a difference in the archives. So do you still hear that echo, Ron?
And not from you, but when I've been talking.
Oh, no, I don't hear it from you. So maybe it's just on your microphone. But I am going to tell you that.
I'm only hearing it then.
I am going to tell you that I'm going to play a song before Kelly comes in because we really don't have a whole lot of time. I do want to announce who's going to be here. I just adore you, Ron, and I so thank you for giving us the insight and all the knowledge that we need to go into this Mercury retrograde with courage and conviction and know that Mercury retrograde is only going to be around for 3 weeks, everyone. 3 weeks, that's it. So everybody try to get through it. Realize that, yes, planets do mean things, but again, like Ron said, you can't let your whole world come down around your feet and stay in bed because of it. But, hey, you can always watch if you get tongue-tied, if your phones don't work, if your computer is down. Just remember, throw your hands in the air and say, well, Mercury is retrograde. So I'm glad that we could give you that. What do you think, Ron?
That's the best way to do it. And to just keep on going. Don't stop. Don't get paralyzed with fear. Just conduct your life the way you normally would.
And I have to tell you, we have our Atlantean card reader. She claims it's, and I always say Atlantean life card reader, and really what it is, as she has not corrected me, but I see on her site, she is a life card reader. It's their life number. It's your life number. And Kelly is going to be here to give you all of that. She's so cool, and she is so good at what she does. I just want to tell you, she will be with us in a few minutes. And I also want to thank Ron again, and we will hear from you next week. I do want to tell you that there will be a schedule change, and it does not affect this show, but it will affect March, right after Mercury goes direct. I will be in New York, so I think it's March 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th it affects. The shows will still go on. I will announce it closer to the date that I won't be here. But Kelly is going to take Monday and Tuesday show, and we've got some fabulous guests coming on with her. So I'm going to also announce again that tomorrow we have a fabulous guest. His name is Neil Baker, and he has an assistant named Kristen. They will be here together. It'll be so cool because, Ron, this is numerology. And, you know, numerology, astrology, mediumship, Akashic records. I mean, it's just so fascinating. So hopefully you'll be back and you can listen to the show. and he is going to be taking callers, and he does have his own show, Neil and Kristen. They do have their own show, but they are going to be so gracious to do mine tomorrow, and that is at 1 o'clock. So I'm going to put some music on till we get to the next show, but thank you, Ron. I so appreciate you coming, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's been
true
pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Ron. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Kelly, hi, my girlfriend.
I'm seeing you. I apologize. It's like I was going to call in. My daughter called me. She was coming in. We desperately have been trying to get a ride over to the other place to get my other vehicle. It's like I was really worried because we had, like, my vacuums and stuff over there. So we went over. We did a quick sweep up and grab. I talked to the gal I'm paying rent to, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we made it back. It's like slid in the door, got the computer on. It's booting up. It's like, ah!
Well, we are so – Kelly, we already have callers on the board for you, girlfriend. And I want everybody to stay on. Kelly's in the house. And she is going to take your calls in just a few minutes. I do want you to – Kelly, I love you, and I know you want to take a few minutes to take some deep breaths, and I know you're going to be fabulous. But, we talked about this, and maybe you want to do it at the end of the show, but I'm not sure. We talked about you going through the different – types of cards, so people understand it a little better, that, you know, the suits of diamonds, the suits of hearts, the suits of – spades. I don't know if you want to start that.
Maybe we'll start with some of the callers and whatnot, and then maybe just give me ten minutes or so at the end, and I'll see if I can kind of explain some of it a little bit. Because I realized I've never really gone through what does the Mercury period mean, what does Venus mean, what is Mars, and it's like because each of the periods have different things that they impact, and it makes a difference in the whole overall thing. So it's like, yeah. At the end would be good.
All right. Well, Kelly girl, I'm going to start with the first one. I love saying that. I'm just like a girl, so I have to like get in that whole thing. Kelly girl. And it's so funny, and I won't go into this because I know that listeners and callers are sick of hearing me talk, but I used to work for Kelly girl when I was a nurse. So here we go. And that was a long time ago when I first got out of nursing school. Oh, my goodness, that was the best job I ever had. So, okay, I'm going to go with 617. 617, you've been waiting a long time. Who am I speaking with?
This is Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm well.
I am happy to have you here, and so is Kelly. Say hello to
Hi,
Kelly.
Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Oh, how are you?
Would you like Kelly to read your life card?
I would love that.
All right.
Hi, Kelly.
Go for it, girl.
What I need is the month and date of your birth and then your current age.
The month is April 2nd.
Okay. All right. That's coming up. So
yeah.
What is your current age?
Current age is 25. My real age is
25. Hey, I have to tell you, I'm 15. Well, I go to 18, 15 to 18, and that is my current age, Lisa. So guess what? I understand, girlfriend. So go ahead.
My real age.
You're 25. Wow, it's like I was going to say you have a very mature sounding voice for 25.
Wow,
people do say that.
That's okay. We love our voice. Go ahead.
My real age is 49.
49. Okay. All righty. There we go. I was going to say wow.
Hey, Kelly. Kelly, I'm older than, well, I'm not going to say that I'm younger than that. No, I'm older than that. And I'm younger in the age I give you anyway, which is 15 to 18. So, see, we're on the same page. Okay, go ahead.
My trouble is I never passed 18, but it's like I've got a son that's going to be 30 this year, so I think I must be older. No.
It's like, how does that happen?
I don't know.
We don't know.
All righty, let's see here. As an April 2nd birthday, you are, I'm just looking at this going, wow, this is amazing, because you are a six of spades, which all the sixes talk about our karma, but the six of spades is called like the card of fate. It's like you live a very fated, destined, you know, type of life. You've got a planetary ruler of an eight of diamonds, so you've got a lot of power. It's like what I'm going to do, because I always forget to do this one. I'm actually going to give you just a short blurb on what the eight of diamonds gives for you as your planetary ruler.
Okay.
That's kind of how the planetary rulers are kind of how we manifest out in the world. Okay.
Okay.
And it adds an element of power to your personality. It also may give you a desire and ability to become well known in some way. Your power is expressed through your values. You know what everything is worth to you, and you can really drive a hard bargain. You know, you're one of those super shoppers.
Yes.
You're a powerful person. You probably attract other powerful people with whom you must deal with, which is, you know, part of your life. You will probably be the one in your family to manage the estate, and in that regard, you're really trustworthy and fair in those kind of matters. You have some artistic ability that can bring you recognition, though you may seek recognition through the acquisition of money and power. In love, you probably have some uncertainties that must be dealt with before you can find true satisfaction.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how you, you know, that's kind of, I'll say, the outer shell, okay?
Yeah.
Inner shell, now the real story, the real unknown story that that sometimes gets from the world.
Oh, yes. Now the bomb. Okay.
Yeah. It's called the card of fate because it's the strongest symbol of the law of cause and effect. You know, what we sow, we will be, you know, for good or ill. When our birth card is a six, you can expect there's going to be fated events at different times in your life. These events were set into motion by your actions and words in previous lifetimes, and the effects were kind of set aside to be experienced later when the conditions are more right to create an equalizing of those events, okay? So that's been a lot of your life right now.
Yes.
Some of these events can be positive and helpful, while others are going to show you what it's like to be on the receiving end, okay? There's that flip side. There's positive and negative, though, some negative current.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And for the most powerful of the sixes, which is what you are, the six of spades, life just seems to have more of those fated events than most other people's lives do, so much so that a lot of the six of spades begin to equate life as a place where they have few choices and little power to really change its outcome. It's true that we cannot change events once they're set into motion, although I'd argue that if you read Greg Braden, the Isaiah Effect, he does actually say that once even events set in motion can be changed by prayer. However, when it's some of the personal things, sometimes, you know, you kind of go, oh, wait, I wasn't ready to go down the toboggan hill. It's like, if you're halfway down, you ain't gonna stop.
Yes.
I'd be able to avoid the boulder at the bottom, but you're not going to avoid the sled ride, okay?
Yes.
But there's so many events in life over which you've got tremendous responsibility and choice, and your choices in that in life are always important in that regard. And that's one of the major life lessons for the Six of Spades. It's a powerful card. It's the card of a person who's here to learn the responsibility of having that power. You either align yourself to a higher purpose and vision and achieve great success, or you have your power turned against you for your own downfall. So we're hoping, since you're calling into a more enlightened show, that you're on the positive path here and taking good steps.
Yes.
As a rule, you know, you're really responsible for your actions. There is a strong Neptune influence that some of the sixes can lead them, you know, kind of down the road of escapism and time loss and fantasy and illusion. This card is the dreamers, you know, to be sure. And you've got to be careful to keep your dreams aligned, again, with high ideals and principles if you want to prevent them from becoming nightmares, okay?
Yeah.
When you have rose-colored glasses on, all of a sudden you take those off and it's like, oh, no, this is not what I thought it was.
Exactly,
so
you
really got to hit your wagon just start, you know, last one, the highest dream you can, and use your power to attain it. And really, nothing can stop you once you have that vision and that clearness there. Fulfillment on every level is just about guaranteed. So you've got some of the greatest potential for success and recognition of any card in the deck. And a lot of the Six of Spades are slated for great achievement. With that Eight of Diamonds in Mars and the King of Spades in Jupiter, at hints of the huge, because the King of Spades is the person who really, that is like, you know, the card, master of your destiny, and the Eight of Diamonds is that's a power, like I said, that's a power shopper card. It's one of the power cards, and you really have a lot of power over, it's about values again, but it can also be very monetary. But again, you know, for that to be realized, a financial gain, you've got to take action, be willing to bear great responsibility. So it would be like, you know, heading your own corporation or, you know, being in business for yourself and being your own business person. You really got to watch tendency to fall into a comfortable or uncomfortable rut. Because, you know, sometimes all of us, you know, my grandma always said, you know, a rut is the grave where the ends kick out. And sometimes it can be a comfortable rut, or sometimes the circumstances that we're in are not really comfortable, and people looking from the outside go, why in the world don't you change that? But sometimes when people have been, and I'll just say, been raised with, you know, either abusiveness or, you know, low self-esteem or things like that, they stay in a rut because it's uncomfortable to be positive and have self-esteem. And it's like, you know, it's a new shoe to wear. It really is. And you got to, that's one of the things, you know, if you're in the uncomfortable rut, it's like, make a better change, okay?
Yes.
But, you know, through acquisition of knowledge, you find great fulfillment, life purpose, direction, and a lot of good friends. Some of your greatest challenges come in the area of love and romance, and it's really your own indecision that works against you, okay? You've got a nine of spades as your first karma card, so there's, you know, there's going to be losses because nines kind of talk about, it can be a loss, it can be disappointments, but it's just change. Nines are the things that, you know, as one door closes, another door opens. So there's a lot of door closure there, okay? A lot of doors closed.
Yes.
You've got to look around and look at a different door, okay?
And
just say tragic in some cases, okay? The nine of spades also guarantees great success when you're focused on a vision of helping the world with your many gifts. You can be the greatest givers of the deck, expressing yourself in a more universal manner. And many of the six of spades people rise to great heights in their work. Now, in relationship, you know, you're one of those people, really, you almost can't stop thinking about love and romance. And at the same time, you know, here's the dichotomy, you tend to have a somewhat a mental approach to the whole situation that causes you to undergo many experiences, both up and down, while you gather experience to kind of, you know, back up your ideas and concepts you have. You can tend to be drawn into different types, you know, also multiple relationships. And that can have a very negative consequence for you. Some of that, you know, the multiple relationships, and I go a step further and say a relationship is not just, you know, your spouse, your love relationship. I mean, your relationships, you know, with your children, with your, you know, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, you know, your family, your friends, the person at the post office, you know, there, anybody that you see on a regular basis in some manner, there is some, you know, sort of a relationship there. So, you know, you have that desire to have a lot of relationship experiences, okay? And a lot of that is rooted in your hidden fear of not getting enough affection that underlines that attempt. And that fear symbolized by the Three of Hearts and Saturn can make it very difficult to have empathy with another person until you recognize it, acknowledge it. You know, it's kind of like one of those things that a lot of us are, you know, aware of is that step program where it's like you have to be aware of the problem and acknowledge it before you have a chance of fixing it.
Exactly.
You tend to be attracted to someone who is intellectual, witty, smart. You know, as the woman of a six of spades, you tend to like men of wealth, authority, prominence, power. You know, sometimes you can be craftier, dishonest,
to
love better. Is that what you are? I don't know. I think so. Ronnie, you're not a six of spades. Come on. You're an ace of diamonds.
I'm so sorry. I broke your concentration, but I had to say it because, I mean, that you're describing what I like. Okay, go ahead, Kelly. Sorry. Sorry.
Avoid trapping yourself. You know, I mean, remember Ben Franklin, you know, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive, because, you know, then you don't know where you're at, or, you know, sometimes you forget where you're at. So it's like honesty is the best policy. Be a straight shooter, and it's like walk a high path, and you'll do a whole lot better with a lot of things.
So with the cards, are you saying that I don't walk a straight and narrow path?
No, not at all. It's like, in the sense of that's just can be one of those things. It's sometimes we run across, I'll say, temptations in the way. So there might be things that will test you and tempt you. Okay, just be aware of those and always stay on the straight and narrow. Okay, that's kind of that. That's kind of that caveat and that heads up.
I know what you're saying.
Right. Okay. Just that's your road warning sign. It's like, you know, when you see those, because I'm sure you've had several of those.
Oh,
in
yes.
life. Where, oh, yeah.
And did I cross to the other side of the street? Oh, no.
Exactly.
Oh,
there
that's
you go.
Not Lisa, that's not fun talk on the other side of the street. We have to make mistakes bumping that because that's life. That is life. But you know what?
Yep.
Now that you know the cards in your life plan, you know what to do. Next time, cross 5 Street. But
exactly. Exactly. I just automatically, nope, cross the street, walk
yep.
all the way down to the stop sign, press the button when it says go, go. Don't walk on red. That's the problem.
Don't
I walk on red.
On red. Especially not in New York, Marcy. Anyway,
that's right.
I jaywalk.
You jaywalk. Oh,
don't walk on red.
That
means stop.
Let me give you your dates here for your personal year. Your Mercury time, of course, starts on your birthday because your personal year starts on the day you're born. So that's April 2nd. And it goes through to Venus. Your Venus time frame starts May 24th. Your Mars time frame starts July 15th. The Jupiter time frame starts September 5th. Saturn is October 27th. The Uranian time frame starts December 18th. And the Neptune time starts the 2nd February 9th. Excuse me there. So you're just finishing up your Uranian time frame for this year, and you'll go into Neptune. What I'd love to do here is, like, I'm going to give you just a little snippet of what's been going on for you, you know, this year. But it's like everything is going to shift massively. Because each year you get a different long-range card. The long-range card you've been looking at this year is the Six of Clubs, which, again, that's one of those faded cards. It's a year where you're finding a purpose. You might have actually gone back to with the clubs is like the scholar card. So you might have you know, found yourself going back to school or somehow being involved in communications, you know, things like that further. Okay. And that's just really a focus. And where you're at with just finishing up this Uranian time, wow, you had the Eight of Spades here in Uranus as long as and as well as the Ace of Clubs. And the Ace of Clubs, again, that's new knowledge, new learning coming in. Mm-hmm. And the Eight of Spades is that power to succeed and be successful at it. Although the Uranian time frame is kind of like that double lightning bolt of unexpectedness. You know, unexpected things will happen, but usually they're positive. It's like it's kind of a fun time after the time we've had with Saturn.
Yes.
The Neptune time frame, you're going to continue that Ace of Clubs goes right into that Neptune time frame too. So again, that's just, you know, it's different types of learning that you're going to be involved in. And you've had, you had the Ace of Spades twice this year also. That is like the card of transformation. It's the card of the Magi, which describes this deck. So you've had a lot of those, I'll say, you know, some transformational things happen where, you know, the phoenix burns up in its own, you know, flames and then, you know, rises from the ashes again. So you've had some rebirths this year.
I've had physically experienced it, and to the point where it's like, now was that me? Did I say that?
That was my Six of Spades taking me on the train track of life and took me for a ride right through it. Yeah.
But some of it was like because I, you know, I never spoke up for myself. I never said anything. And then I would walk away and say, I should have said this, I should have said that. You have this mental conversation and what you could have, should have said and done. But now it's when I speak, it's very different now. And I feel that a lot of people, not a lot, but I'm being almost tested in my strength and power.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And like I say, for your 50th birthday, you've got a long range card there of a Queen of Clubs. So it's like that is about self mastery again. That's like, you know, more of the knowledge and learning. But you've got some very powerful cards. And I hope you call back, you know, closer to your birthday, we'll definitely look at that and see kind of some of the good, because you got some really good cards laid out, you know, coming up. So you got some good things coming up. So it's I'll just say, you know, keep on the positive spiral, because you know, I've seen people have fantastic cards and they have lousy years because they kind of walk through life going, oh, poor little me, la la la, and they drag along. It's like instead of throwing your shoulders back, you know, getting your chin up and going, I'm going to have a great year, you know, because you
exactly.
are. Like, you are going to have a great year.
And you know what? It's the fact that I've stepped up to the plate and said yes. There have been dark times. Trust and believe, there has been some very There has been many, many, many years where things have been dark, but this is the first time that I actually have a voice and I say no. No, that doesn't work for me.
It's important words you can learn in life. No.
Yes. And it's like, no, I've done that, been there, doesn't work for me. And move on. I don't sit and wallow in it.
Perfect.
I love that. I so love that.
Yes. It had to be. I mean, to me, I felt like if I don't do anything, I feel like I'm going to die on the vine. Everything that I've come here with is going. It's going to dry up and die on the vine.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to tell you because you know that's what I'm here to tell you is that you're not going to die on the vine. You're gonna thrive on the vine, and you are going to call back. Kelly is going to give you that next year. Please, because I know who I hear your voice and I love your voice and I know your energy. Call us. Will you please call us back on your birthday? Because it's a heavy
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. And I'm getting a cake this year. I'm getting a cake.
Yes!
I'm celebrating.
Yay! I would do
I'm
that.
Celebrating.
Honey, I would do that too. I'm going to do that too. I'm going to celebrate my 16th year. Yes, I am. And I'm going to have a cake with 16 candles on it. So I hope you call us back and have a fabulous year. And
you
I hope
as
you
well. Absolutely. Kelly, thank you. Thank you so much. It was beautiful.
Welcome.
Very beautiful. Thank you.
You got good cards. You got some good prospects. The other thing I was going to mention real quick is, see, on your 45th year, because that's what's called the rebirth year, that's the year where all your cards were exactly lined up as they were when you stepped onto this planet when you were born. And from ages 45 to 90, it's like, and they correspond, you know, your 45th year is like your zero year, 46 is like your first year, 47 is like, you know, matches with your third year, 48 matches with your fourth year. So you're about in your fifth year of your new life here, okay?
Wow.
So that was, and what was really funny was you had a six of diamonds in your rebirth year, which was a purpose-finding year. So it's like you've gone through these, you know, the last one, two, three, you know, this is the fourth year where you've kind of gone through, and now with this, that you've had the six again this year, it's like going, come on, get your purpose. Let's go, giddy up.
Exactly, yes. That's true. That's very true.
I have got to tell you, I am so excited, and if you call back, we are ready to give you that new reading. Right, Kel?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
You have a-
Thank you.
Thank you both so very much.
And many blessings. Many blessings.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Before I take the next caller, I do want to mention, I do have a lot of people in chat, but I've got to tell you one of my, actually all of them are my favorites, but I'd like to shout out to Glenn. Glenn, I love you too. Mwah. Okay, I'm going to take the next caller. He's just a fabulous man. He's written a book that is so fabulous, and I'm starting to read it. It's about taking the power of you and creating it, making it work. He is one of the most generous, most giving, most fabulous souls on this earth, and he is doing so much work with the elderly, people who are in places we wouldn't want to be in right now. And I can only tell you, Glenn, that it is because of you that this world survives the way it does, because you are so wonderful and your soul is so blessed. So thank you for coming and thank you for listening and thank you for being in chat. And now I'm going to take the next caller, 518. You're on. 518. You are on. And
she said, hi, Glenn, I love you. And then from there until just a second ago, she just plugged me to everybody.
Hi. Yes, I did, Glenn.
I told everybody that
hello.
I wrote a book, that she's reading it, that I'm a great soul, that I have something to do.
Well, I'm going to just read it. So I'm going to go with 956.
You're a lot of
I know. Is that so cute? I'm going to go with 219. You're on 219. Glenn, I love you, pal. You are so awesome. 219. Oh,
hello.
I'm so sorry. Hello, this is 219. Hi.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, this is Bonnie. Who am I speaking with?
Liz. Yes.
Hi,
Liz. Hi.
Kelly?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Would you like to speak with Kelly and get a life card reading?
Yes, I would.
Alrighty.
Oh, Kelly, this is your call. So this is Liz. This is Kelly. Go for it.
Hi, Kelly.
Okay, what I need is your month and your birth date and then your current age.
10/29/46.
29, okay. 46 is probably the year you were born, so, help me with the math here.
No, not the year. 46
is
my age.
Gotcha, okay.
I was going to say, you sound a lot younger. Yeah, you sound a whole lot younger than that birthday. And hey, girlfriend, I understand, because, see, I'm a lot younger than my birthday, too. So go ahead.
Okay. Big month of us are.
Okay, let's see. 10/29, that puts you deep into October. That is, I'm thinking that was Scorpio birthday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ah, yes it is, because you've got not one, but you have got two, the planets, the ruling cards. See, and this is the way the energy goes. Here is another six persons, except this person is six of hearts. And she's got the Jack of Diamonds
Jack of Diamonds, and Spades. So I'm going to do this again, because my poor planetary rulers usually get left out when I start going on this. So I'm going to look at those first. And it's interesting because Scorpio people have two planetary rulers, and I'm sure that Leo people feel left out because, you know, you actually swiped their planetary ruler. They have no separate planetary ruling card. Scorpio got them both.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. And that is the, make sure I get the right one there, is Jack of Spades.
Wow.
And that's your first planetary ruler. It has a strong creative urge to your personality. It can manifest in several ways. First of all, you might feel drawn towards like either acting or some form of artistic expression.
Yes.
Even if you're not, you've got a lot of creativity that, you know, you apply to whatever work you're doing. And I give examples on this, like, you know, people who decorate cakes. I've seen stonemasons be highly creative in their stonemasonry work. So, you know, and people who do landscaping, you know, things like that. So creativity is not just about, you know, yarn and sewing and cooking and things like that. It's like creativity comes in all forms. I actually have a very creative son-in-law, and he's very mechanical, and he does things with mechanical things. I go, wow, who'd have ever thought?
I need some mechanical parts, Kelly. I have no mechanical skills at all. But go ahead.
I know. I was like, well, I mean, he gets these designs and these ideas for things and just kind of, you know, goes on a tangent. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of sit there and go, okay, well, you can build your own stock cars or, you know, see how that works.
Yeah.
Anyway. And you've got this Ten of Diamonds as the second planetary ruler. And both your planetary rulers are the ways that you tend to manifest out to the world. And you can really be grateful you have that one. That's called the blessed card. You show some genuine good fortune on all who possess it, and you know, have many things in life just kind of come to you on the gold platter, okay? But it does not guarantee your happiness, okay? That is always dependent upon your appreciation for what you have. And it's like, you know, if you go back, I don't know if you've seen Rhonda Byrne, you know, with The Secret, where the guy with the gratitude rock, you know, where you have the rock, you know, thank you. And it's like, you know, as soon as you got out of bed in the morning, my feet hit the floor, you know, I start saying thank you. It's counting your blessings. So it's like being really grateful for what you have, okay?
Okay.
It also gives you some innate business ability. You could do very well in your own business, and the larger it is, the better. You probably enjoy being the center of attention, and you've got some natural abilities, either artistic again or otherwise, that can get you attention in relationships. Relationships can be a little bit problematical because you can be a little self-centered and somewhat high-strung. Think of the high-strung is not necessarily a bad thing, but think of a thoroughbred racehorse, okay? They're a very high-strung animal, okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's not a bad thing to be high-strung, you know, because if you win the Kentucky Derby with that, that's a good thing. So it helps you along your path in different ways. But for those reasons, you know, you may have some challenges in that area. And now just looking at our fabulous sixes again here, the cards of fate. This one with the six of
Isn't
hearts,
that interesting?
It's actually called, the peacemaker card. It's a card of peace and harmony and stability in love and family. As a six of hearts person is very aware of the law of love
and you really strive to maintain stability in relationships. And that really can make for a satisfying life. Or the flip side is, you know, because there's always two sides to every card, every coin, whichever. Or it can be monotonous and boring. So it's just, you know, it's, again, it's how you look at it. You know, do I want to make it satisfying or do I want to look at it this way? It's like, it's kind of like the same thing happens every day. Of course, I can visualize Bill Cosby in that monologue. You know, same thing happens every night at dinner. You can also look at anything that you do as either monotonous or just something that, you know, something that you can take joy out of. For example, as a mom, you know, guess what? You fix meals every day. You eat every day. You do dishes every day. You know, sometimes you do laundry every day. You know, things like that. There's things that you do every day, and you can either look at it as, oh, this is a drudge, this is a chore, or you can take that time while you're doing those repetitive tasks to go, I'm going to meditate while I'm doing this. I'm going to go to the island while I'm doing this. And, you know, Mary Poppins, a spoonful of sugar, you know, have some fun while doing it. Okay.
Okay.
So this is somewhat of a fixed card, and in some ways you dislike changes and upsets, and sometimes that can keep you in a relationship longer where you're unhappy, okay, longer than necessary as you kind of, you know, sort out your intentions and motives. So in that sense, it's like, you know, if you're in a long-term relationship you want to keep and you're not exactly happy with it, it's the time to, you know, even you're the peacemaker person, and it's like, and you don't want to make waves, but there's a time to speak up. You know, there's a time for every sentence, you know, thing under the season. You know, time for everything under the sun. I'm going to misquote that horribly. It's in Solomon. Good song about
it. I love it. I never can quote things either, Cal, so don't worry about it. She's not going to blame you, I promise, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, but the way they have them quoted, you know, so part, you know, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry, there's a time, you know, to gather stones, there's a time to throw stones away, you know, all that. It's a whole litany of things.
There's
so
a time to sing and there's a time to die.
I think that's what it is.
I love that. That's my favorite psalm, yes.
There you go.
On that psalm, whatever. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I understand. but you're usually successful. You can apply. You've got great mental power, and you can apply that to most any area with success, in spite of, you know, occasional fears or, you know, about having enough, you know, whatever. Success lies in knowledge and communication fields. Okay, so if that's, you know, if that's what you're doing for a business or, you know, working out of, and you usually do better by developing one area and sticking to it. You know, you don't hop areas. There's people who are the jack of all trades, and it's like, you know, and that works for them, but with you, not so much, okay? But you have got the power to learn practically anything you set your mind to. This card has an inherited creative gift. A lot of them find success as either designers or artists or, you know, creative financial planners. You know, you can just be very entrepreneurial. You're never lost for good ideas or how to generate income. And you're one of those people that you would really benefit from what I call the pocket pals. It's like the little style-bound notebooks and a pen. It's like when you get those awesome ideas, jot them down, put a date on it, and, you know, don't judge them. It's like, you know, because so many times people, oh, that's a crazy idea. It's like, no, write it down, you know, because sometimes the crazy ideas, you know, turn out to be really amazing. But you are here to settle karmic love debts, to forgive and forget, and you can rise to the heights of spiritual awareness through your actions. You never get away with injuries to others, and you're well aware of that. You know, it's like if you see the boomerang out, it's going to come back and clonk you in the face. Okay, just you know that.
Yeah.
And it's the same card as that which governs Christmas Day. So the Six of Hearts is also a card that is December 25th day. Your lives really are intended to be that of plenty and giving, you know, think of the cornucopia of, you know, like Thanksgiving, sharing your wealth of love with the people around you. And it really is interesting to notice how often Six of Hearts, they, you know, you might either have six children or, you know, six fostering, you know, whatever, or, you know, just
how
might be the number
of
people in your close circle. What's that?
How about six pieces of cake? I don't think I love my children very much, but I do not think that I want six of them. I love them, and I hope that one day in one universe I would have six of them, but no thank you. I would just prefer if I had that card to have six pieces of cake. I'm sorry.
The other thing I think of as sixes is if you think of a six-sided figure of a hexagon, it's very stable. They found out that they're, you know, really good for shock absorbers. It's what bees, the shape that bees put their hives in and store their honey in. It's like the six-sided, the hexagon is, you know, it's got some really tremendous, you know, stability and strength in there. You know, when a six of hearts feels, you know, when you feel like you've been wronged or that someone in your care has been treated unjustly, You can really see the power of that competitive side emerge. Okay, you can become very forceful when, you know, provoked in that manner. That competitive nature can extend into business dealings as well, or into sports. You know, you can keep a cool exterior while engaged in heated battles. It's like, might serve you well in court of law. Anyway, this is an experience that discovery of a special mission in life, and one that involves bringing love into lives of others in a really special way. And it's there that you really find your highest fulfillment and happiness. And in relationships, in the process of learning, you know, responsibility of love, you might have personal relationships to deal with that come from a past life, positive or negative, you know, just depending on that, you know, the karma that, you know, has been there. But those relationships always seem fated. And for that reason, a lot of the Six of Hearts people feel that there is a special love for you, you know, somewhere out there, you know, and you just sense and believe that, you know, someday their special person is going to magically show up. And hopefully that's your current spouse, you know, that's what you always hope for. Okay. And it just, you know, and when you find that person, you know, it just makes everything better for them. Now, it may or may not happen, but many of them, you know, have that dream throughout your life. Okay, the basic love problem you have is really good, and you can have what is considered an ideal marriage. You prefer to be with the people you can do business with, and kind of expect the people that you marry to hold up their end of the bargain. You know, it's like, don't drop me in there, honey. It's like, if you're going to be on the teeter-totter, don't jump off at the bottom and let me slam to the ground. I won't like you. You're usually able to get what you want in the matters of love, as long as you maintain this attitude of just, you know, being responsible and really listening to the call of that higher love nature within you. Okay. Let's see. For this year, let's see what kind of stuff is coming in, coming on, coming down, coming around. And
well, listen, I can tell you, if you're going to tell her something really good, and that she's going to be in the Fortune 500, and that she's going to have a great job on TV, then I have to tell you, I'm taking that card.
I will.
I'm taking that card, and then I'm sorry, I'll give you one of mine. Go ahead.
She'll trade you back. Let's see, what is that called?
I'll trade
playing hearts. That's what it is. That's kind of, when you trade cards, it's a team of hearts. You're so funny. Oh, goodness. Okay, so your personal year, I'm going to give you the dates here. The Mercury time frame, of course, starts on your birth date. Your Venusian time frame, Venus dealing with women and love matters, that kind of thing, is December 20th is when that starts, and that goes clear through until the 10th of February. So you're still just in your Venusian time frame, so you're kind of early in your year, which is awesome. Mars, it goes from February 10th until April 3rd, and then you've got the Jupiter comes in, that's your blessed time of the year, from April 3rd until May 25th. Saturn starts in, there's your, you know, your challenging and hard parts of the year. It's like, you know, things you're really going to get lessons in, is from about May 25th till about July 16th. Then you get kind of a reprieve, you know, a breath of fresh air there. And from the Uranian time frame, from July 16th until September 6th. So you get the double jagged lightning bolts and just kind of go, ooh, you know, it's like, wow, wasn't expecting that. And last of all, you get Neptune bringing up the rear September 6th until your next birthday. So those, you know, those will hold true. That is like, you know, your personal year when you stepped in on the planet. Those will hold true for every year. And now just kind of look at and see what you're at, where you're at. Or let's see, Six of Hearts.
I'm
this year. let's see. And
I'm
this
still
is
waiting for that card.
So you just had, wow. Okay, so you just had, it suddenly hit me. It's like, yeah, you just had your rebirth year, which a lot of times the, I'll say the mundane world will call, calls it the, your midlife crisis. You know, people about 45, you know, hit quote the midlife crisis. And that's really what that is, because, again, that's when your cards on your 45th year are exactly the same as your zero, as your birthday when you first stepped in. So that's, you know, you've come into this life, you know, you've had 45 years with learning, and go, I'm going to up the ante here. I'm going to take this and occupier for, you know, for the next 45 years, okay? So that's kind of where you were at last year, and it's kind of continuing. You had an Eight of Diamonds last year for your overall. So, you know, you really had a powerful card last year, and it was about mastering finances. That was, you know, the theme there. It's like this year, though, you got the Eight of Hearts as your long range. So really this year is about mastering relationships, about, you know, having some personal power in those and really getting what you want out of a relationship. You know, so it's a really great time for communication. Yeah. Yes, no, maybe. It's like, wow, something shifted, no. Something changed, what happened?
No, I know I'm in a relationship now. It started in September, which is weird.
Oh, wow.
I kind of figured there's something going on around the relationship thing, yes.
It's like, okay, if it just started in September and that was right before your birthday, you had the Ten of Hearts for your 40-50. You had the Ten of Hearts in your Neptune time. So there are some there are some blessings there. It's like, just make sure it's all it's cracked up to be, okay? Just make sure that in any time that you start a Neptunian relationship, there's a caveat there to really make sure that you're seeing the person as they really are. And the flip side is that they see you as you really are, because sometimes they can project their fantasies on you, or vice versa. Okay.
Just remember that you have to, because you have some of the cards I want, not all of them, but some of them, that you need to make sure that you do see this relationship for what it is. I think you already do. I think you're a pretty strong lady, and I think you know what you're going to have to do one way or the other sooner or later. So, okay, go ahead, Kelly.
All righty. Where you've been so far in Mercury, you've had the Ace of Diamonds and the Jack of Hearts. Ace of Diamonds is about, aces are always about starting new things, you know, new things coming in. Diamonds can be two things. It's either your values or money. So there's either, you know, a new way of making money coming in, or, you know, you have some new values that are going to affect that. Jacks are highly creative. That Jack of Hearts, and a lot of times the first card, which is the Ace of Diamonds, is the one that's, you know, kind of the underlying. But the way it manifests, that's why I'm curious to look here and see what that Jack has to say, because the Jacks can really be tricky. Jacks are like the Jacks are the ones with really, I'll say, two-sided things happening. Okay.
And you can
really
have those Jacks.
Yeah, she's going, oh, watch out for the Jack. But you're given a gift of creative mind that can come up with great ideas about how to make money quickly. And, of course, anything in Mercury is, you know, usually quick. You know, the quick returns. You may find something with quick returns from investments, you know, selling something or some other form of marketing or promotion. It would, you know, would have been a really great time to do some of the market planning for your business, or to try to get one of your what's called get rich quick schemes, you know, to fly, whatever. But you may find that one of those would involve one of the communications fields. So anything, you know, dealing with, whether it's, you know, internet, whether it's public speaking, whether it's, you know, writing, you know, whatever it is, it's a strong involvement for learning about spiritual love also. And it can also represent giving up some of your own ideas or plans in order to help someone less fortunate than yourself. So those could have all been things, you know, starting in the Mercury period. And each of the periods, even though the cards are the strongest in their own influence, we have what's called kind of a watercolor wash. If you think when a painter does, you know, watercolor, how, you know, the colors kind of blend because of the water, that's kind of how it is for your year. It's like, you know, because all the cards will affect things to a lesser degree during the year, but they're strongest and most powerful in the, you know, in the time frame that they're there. Now, what you've got going for this Venusian time period, you've got the Queen of Hearts, which is actually the marriage card. So you've been really thinking about this relationship element going there. And you've also got the Ten of Clubs. So again, very, very, you know, two very strong cards there that, you know, a lot of positive outcome, and it's, you know, again, it's how you want to use things. It's like you can use these, you know, to your best advantage, or I've also seen people shoot themselves in the foot, you know, so it's like, try not to be a foot shooter, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I need my feet.
No foot shooters on this show. And if you do, just call back and we'll tell you how to bandage it. It's very simple.
Okay. There you go. How to fix that hole in your foot once you shot yourself. Yeah, plug that hole.
Remember, I am counseling, and I could actually help you put that hole back together. So
there
just
you
if you do, you know, don't worry about it, but go ahead, tell it.
What I'm going to do is go. I'm going to go ahead and give you the cards for the year. It's like, you're going to have to probably get this in archives because I kind of talk fast. But when you go back, you know, get your pencil and paper and just kind of, you know, get the dates down, get the times down. In your Mars time frame, you've got the Eight of Clubs coming up and the Seven of Clubs. The Eight of Clubs is one of the most psychic cards in the deck. So that's, you know, that's really a positive because your intuition is going to be, you know, at an all-time high. Mars is dealing with legal things. The Seven of Clubs, there's kind of a thing manifesting there where it's to have the what I call the have the faith cards, okay? So it's don't worry about things so much. It's like the sevens can cause us, the odd number cards can tend to cause us stress and worry about things. So just be aware of that, and just have that faith that things are going to go, because you've got that eight of clubs placed really nicely. So it's, you know, it's one of the power cards. So it's like it is the power to overcome.
Okay.
In the Jupiter time frame, you've got two kind of that ordinarily I would say would be challenging cards. You've got the three of spades and you've got the seven of hearts. Now, the seven of hearts, they always bring me that song. It's like, you know, have a little faith, love will come to you. Okay, but it's going to have a positive outcome and aspect just because it's in the Jupiter time. The three of spades gives you a lot of creativity. There just might be a time there where it's like watch your health a little bit. You know, just kind of make sure that you're getting, you know, good sleep. You know, you're drinking your water. You know, you're kind of taking care of the body. Okay, and just make sure you don't get stressed and run down from that. In the Saturn time frame, you've got a secondary, what's called the secondary love card. You've got the four of hearts and the eight of hearts, both in Saturn. So there may be some karmicness to, you know, to a relationship going on then, but the four is really a stability, you know, wanting stability, and the eight is really the power to get what you want. But then the caveat with that is be careful what you ask for, because you're likely going to get it. So,
I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So your most challenging time of the year being the Saturn, but you having those two really, really, really strong cards in relationship, it's like, you know, whatever's there is going to kind of be mitigated. Just, you know, it's just on how you handle it. The Uranian time frame, some fun time here. There's a five of spades and there's a jack of diamonds. Now, five is the card of the wanderer. So it could be inner restlessness. Again, could be something with work or career. So there might be some, you know, some changes there. And with that jack, it might be creativity with your finances, with, you know, something new coming in. But there may be a lot of times the fives will indicate a possible geographic relocation. Or if not, you may find yourself relocating your furniture within your house, going, I need some new energy shake up here. I'm going to feng shui it or something, you know, something different. But just really inner restlessness. And always with the spades, there's that bit with, you know, it's career, it's work, but it's also your health. So, again, just be aware of your health, and it's like, you know, and be aware you're going to be, you know, when I say restless, think of standing at the ocean shore and just watch, you know, the waves come in and crash like that, and think of the ocean, it's very restless, and that's kind of how when fives and threes show up for us, we get that real restlessness, okay? So
that's the
crashing waves on the shore, okay, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
In the Neptunian time frame, you've got the Queen of Spades. There's a very strong card, which is... it's about self-mastery, you know. It's like, and of course, queens, you know, are always you're like a mother hen, everybody around you, whatever. But really, on the internal side, it's your own self-mastery, and it's really taking control of yourself and how you steer your ship. And that's really, you know, it kind of is in conjunction with what went on last year, your 45th year with that rebirth. And then, like I say, you're the Neptune time is, the long range, you know, back to the long range there. That was the eight of hearts. So it's like, you know, and you had that twice. You had that eight of hearts show up twice this year. So it really is about, with two of those. Just be careful that, you know, there's so much power there that you really will get what you want. But just be careful you don't steamroller over other people's feelings to do it. Okay. It's like, especially in a relationship, there's that there. You've got a Pluto and result combination. They're kind of the combination cards. You've got a six of clubs as your Pluto, which is kind of the faded, you know, long-range stuff. It's like it's finding your place in the universe, kind of finding I'm trying to think, you know, like a fact-finding expedition, thinking of archaeology and stuff like that. It's just this year, you know, when you're going to be fact-finding about yourself and going, what really works for me? It's what, you know, where am I going? And it's interesting, the result card with that is the three of hearts. And it's like there might be some change of hearts. There might be, you know, it might be back to like, you know, dating some different people or just are really kind of doing some different things maybe with the person that's in your life. It's like, you know, kind of, you know, maybe we're going to go dancing. Maybe we're going to go take a pottery class together. You know, it's like kind of like doing things together, but it's branching out in the relationships, you know, and it not necessarily, okay, how do I put this, not necessarily a, you know, your personal relationship, but it's like making other friends. It's like, you know, making friends with that, with your person, okay? So that's kind of the result of finding who you are there, you know, finding Nemo. Right. Thank you. My group talks to me. It's like at really various random times with some really, you know, one-liners. I'm sorry. Let's see. Environmental.
Kelly, they said you'd be better be glad that they're there is what they said to me.
I'm very thankful and blessed that they're there. They inject humor. It's fun. It's like, yes, I'm very thankful. Thank you very much for everybody on the other side. I really appreciate y'all. Yes, don't take a coffee break now.
Well, your husband's taking a bow. So he's taking a bow.
He deserves one.
He has a bow. He's taking a bow. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. But you know when spirit calls.
And I went, yeah, it's like, and I saw that where it's like, you know, the magician pops the flowers out of your sleeve, and I was like, okay, you're thinking about, here's your flowers. Thank you, honey. It's like, it's gone. And your environment card is kind of your, that's kind of your blessed card for the year. And that's a three of diamonds. And that's really talking about you're going to have some, you know, some changes in values, or you're going to be, I'll say, trying on different shoes, okay? Trying on different philosophies, or kind of just experimenting or checking out, you know, different spiritual things that may work for you in the, you know, for values. In the mundane world, it may be three or more jobs. It may be opportunities for different types of jobs. And you may choose to do something like, I mean, I'm not sure what you're doing now, but you might choose to do like two or three at-home jobs. You know, you might join like, you know, two or three network marketing things or something like that. You might have several things that you're doing. You know, it's like the old saying was, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And that's kind of what that's about. It's like, divesting or diversifying what you're doing, so you have, you know, generating a little bit of income, you know, from different sources. For example, you know, if you have three jobs that you're getting, say, $500 to $700 a month from, well, you know, mm-hmm. hey, that's $1,500 when you add it up, you know, $1,500 to $2,100. So it's like, it doesn't have to be a lot from everything, but just a little bit from, you know, from different places. The displacement card is the four of clubs. That kind of talks about your challenges, and it's like one of the challenges, fours are always about stability. Think about things that have four legs, you know, chairs, tables, dogs, cats, you know, anything that is, you think of as stable, as hard to knock off their feet, has something four solidly planted under them. And that's kind of where your challenges is, you're being challenged to get that, you know, get your legs under you, so to speak. And with the clubs, you might take on some new learning. You might like take, I don't know, some weekend classes, evening classes. There might be something where you're just going to kind of, real estate school popped to mind. It's like, you know, but something that says, you know, where you're going to be taking, like, you know, evening classes or new learning, something like that. Something in the communication.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Just ideas, you know. I mean, these are all about the realms of possibility. It's like they're possibilities. Doesn't, you know, and possibilities, probabilities, doesn't mean you're absolutely set in stone going to do it, because, you know, anybody can take any of the things that we say and go, okay, that was a good warning sign. Appreciate that. It's like, well, when I see the bridge out sign, I'm going to turn right or left instead of going straight and having a tow truck help me today, you know. So that's, so, you know, these
please don't call that tow truck, because the last time Amy, who's in chat, called a tow truck, her dead husband showed up, and he had to fix the problem before the tow man, but then the tow man got stuck, and poor Amy had to wait on the side of the road. So if you hear me, Amy, you know I'm giving you a big plug. So, yes. Anyway, love the tow truck. I love the tow truck story. I hope that we have helped you today, and, you know,
you have.
Wonderful. You know what, Kelly, and you can listen, because I'm going to put, you know, because if you want to stay on hold, you can listen. Kelly's going to go. I haven't even been able to save Kelly 15 minutes. I've saved her six to go through what the cards actually mean in those time frames. So we love you, and thank you for calling. And I'm going to let Kelly start to tell us about those cards. Please call us back. We love
you.
You're welcome.
And check
okay,
out, like,
Kelly,
I know I talk fast, so archives are always available there.
Yes. I just want to shout out this 956 and 707. I have your numbers, and you will be first next week, because unfortunately we only have 6 minutes. So I am going to tell you, if you call back, and I think you know who you are, 956. And 707, I have 956 as the first caller, and 707 that will take you second. But thank you for being on with us. Go for it, Kelly. You only have about 5 minutes, 6 minutes, but I really do believe it's really important that they know what those time frames are.
Okay. Wow. And here I was going to, I'm going to start with one because I always, whenever it comes up, you know, people are always asking about it. This is, it's the card that is the Ace of Spades. And that is because in so many cultures, it's considered the death card, you know, that kind of stuff. And in this one, what I'll say is the Ace of Spades is a lot different from the other aces in the deck. You know, first of all, it's, you know, got the larger symbol in the center of the deck, and that's, of course, if you have, you know, one of the regular, I'll say one of the regular decks. Secondly, on a lot of the decks, you find that the center spade has been ornately decorated, often very beautifully. A lot of manufacturers put their company name on this card somewhere. And the question is, do you know why the Ace of Spades is so different? Well, here we go. Most of the manufacturers of our cards don't even know, but it's because the Ace of Spades is the card that represents the Order of the Magi and the secret societies of old. It's the one card above all others that represents the secrets that are there to be discovered by studying the cards in depth. And in this system, the Ace of Spades represents secrets as well. It's the card that represents the science of the cards, and it's a lot about transformation. Ace of Spades has always been a symbol of death. It's likened to the single bullet that ends our life, although, you know, many cultures have used this card in film and literature as a death symbol. But, and it holds true. Here, the Ace of Spades is one of the more powerful symbols for personal transformation. In some cases, physical death. Sometimes, you know, we've seen things happen like somebody's pet dies, or, you know, Uncle Rodney dies, or Aunt Agnes dies, you know, whatever. It's like somebody, there will be a death somewhere in the family. But a lot of times it can also be just that transformation where people are transforming. And, you know, like I say, it's kind of like the Phoenix Rising card is what I usually think about it. It's just, it's something that it transforms us, whether it's, you know, whether it's death, whether it's, you know, whether it's a death to an old way of life, you know, where we really, the quickest one that leaped to mind there was like, you know, like an alcoholic who goes on the wagon, or somebody who has, you know, been doing drugs and they give it up. It's like, talk about a total transformation. They change friends, they change lifestyle, you know, total changes. And for the positive, okay? We can have things that change us for the negative, and hopefully, you know, then we want to work to get out of that. Just kind of talking about the year-long influence cards, because there's five of them. The long-range card, the Pluto and Result cards, and the Environment and Displacement cards, because I kind of mentioned those. With the Environment and Displacement, there we go. They both got unique characteristics. They can be extremely important. In some cases, one of those could be the most important card of your entire year. The first represents an area that you receive easily, and the second an area that where you give freely. It's one of the important considerations that you need to be aware of as we're using this system. And then there's a special family of seven cards that have no environment or displacement cards each year. The seven cards are the Two of Hearts, the Ace of Clubs, the Seven of Diamonds, the Eight of Clubs, the Nine of Hearts, the Jack of Hearts, and the King of Spades. So if somebody has a birth card or planetary ruling card that's one of those, there won't be an environment or displacement card in their yearly readings. Even if the birth card
what
is
does
one
that
of those
mean?
Cards. Well, they're called the semi-fixed and the fixed cards, and they have a special relationship. I mean, there's a whole chapter devoted to why those particular seven cards are special. It's like, but those are the special cards of the deck, okay? Take me a face value for that right now. That can be a topic for discussion on another day.
Am I a special card, Cal?
You're just a special – you're just a special person. You don't need special cards. What are you talking about?
Thank you. Oh, my goodness, I love you. Okay, go ahead. Continue. Thank you. I'm blushing. Go, which is hard.
See, for Bonnie, for you, it's like you are the Ace of Diamonds and you have an Ace of Hearts. So you're double aces, but it's like neither one of them is the Ace of Clubs. But that's okay. Doesn't have to be.
Oh, thank you, because I'll just borrow one from you, Kelly.
There you go. Let's see. And, okay, the Environment card. With the year-long influence cards, the two of them, you know, are always blessings. The first is a Result card, which is discussed here earlier. But the next is the Environment card, which in some ways is even better than a Result card because you get the blessings of the Environment card all year long instead of just at the end of the year, as is the case of the Result card. The Result card is kind of your, you know, it's the grand finale bit. The Result card is like the little gift waiting for you at the end of the year of hard work, quality, environment cards, blessings begin immediately on your birthday, and they extend for the entire year. It's an area or person in your life that's
Kelly?
A fairly constant source of good things. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, we got
Kelly,
1 minute.
I love you.
We have 1 minute, and I do want to tell you that this is so important. I'm so engrossed. I'm so intrigued, and I can't stop listening right talk and hear this 60-second thing in my brain. So we are going to start with this because I'm going to ask Ron to cut his show just a little bit. So we'll have, like, I'd like you to come in about 15 minutes ahead of your of what you're doing, because I do believe this is really important.
I didn't even get to call about progressions today. I wanted to hear about that, and it's like I didn't even get a chance to call in today because we were over moving.
Well, guess what? Listen to the archives, and you will. We have 12 minutes. Everybody, we love you. Kelly loves you. I'm so happy. Check out our guests. Make sure that you listen tomorrow because we do have a guest. We love you. Love is in the airwaves. Bye.
It is. Thanks, Bonnie. Bye.
Hey, Kel. Thank you.
And thanks to all our guests and listeners. You guys
make it separate. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? I keep pressing the end episode button, and Kel, it isn't. So I
Well, you know what? The nice thing is Blog Talk will eventually kick us off. They will.
I